I brought notes today. I've never done that before. I just don't want to forget anything in the notes. All right, if you just stumbled in and you're not on our emails, let's say it one more time. So this is our last week in here. And next week, we're transitioning as a community right across the breezeway into the sanctuary. If you don't know that, none of the rest of this is going to make any sense, okay? Because that's all we're talking about this morning. Okay, here's the thing. It was 3 years ago, this coming Thursday, that was our first worship service in here as a community. 3 years ago, this next Thursday. Which means that 3 years ago today, there was no chapel community. Now, there were several people that had already committed to being a part of it, to building it. You know who you are. And there were several of us that were kind of planning things behind the scenes, but there was no community. And this is the main thing I want to say today. The Lord has been so faithful over the last 3 years and has done so many wonderful things. And some of those things have been done through leadership, and many of those things have been done despite leadership. And some of those things have been done through you, and some of those things have been done despite you. But the Lord has been so faithful. So here's what I want to do this morning. Reflect a little bit on where we've been, talk about some scripture, and then talk a little bit about where we're going. Those are the three things that we're going to do this morning. So let me pray for us, and then we'll really dive in. Let's pray. God, thank you for bringing us here. And thank you for the music that we've sung and the prayers that we've prayed together. And now, Lord, as we turn to the scripture in a time of reflection, God, I pray that you, by the power of your Holy Spirit, will be with us. God, you know that I prepared some words, and I pray that you bring those to life. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts, may they be pleasing to you, O Lord. You are our rock and our redeemer. We pray these things in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So welcome to the chapel. My name is Matt. I'm one of our associate ministers here and the pastor here in the chapel. And no matter how you got here today, we're glad that you're here. Some of you came in and things are going great in your life. And some of you came in and things are not going somewhat so well. And some of you are here and this is your community. It feels good to be in church. And some of you are here and it feels a little bit uncomfortable to be around church people. And some of you are here and you are sold out for the Christian faith. Your life is built around it. And some of you are here and you're asking some questions about it. And some of you are here and you are openly antagonistic to the faith, but somebody drug you in here today. And here's all that I want to say. No matter where you are on any of those spectrums, this is the church. And in the name of Jesus Christ, you're welcomed here. And as someone who's a part of this community, I can speak for all of us and say, we're really glad that you're here this morning. You know, either me or somebody else up here has said something like that a lot. Some of you, as soon as I start to say it, I see you look down like this is bulletin time, right? Like, you've heard that a million times. But somewhere over the last year or two, I really began to believe that became true for this community. And not just for the people up front. But this has become a community where truly anybody, no matter what spectrums they're on, are able to walk in and feel like this is home. 1,099 days ago was our first service. I looked that up this week. I didn't know that. I looked it up. 1,099 days ago. Which means 1,100 days ago, 1,100 days ago, there was nothing like this. And so much of what we dreamed about, the Lord has brought to fruition. But I would say more than anything else, that is what we dreamed about that has happened. Is that this would be a community where people would invite people, and once those people were invited in, they would feel welcomed. They would feel like this was a place where they could belong, a place where they could be a part of this family. And even as the community grew, I think that it maintained that. So let's just think for just a second about some of the stuff that's happened in the last 1,099 days. Some stuff's happened. A lot of babies have been walked down that aisle. And we've prayed over them, and we've thanked God for them, and they've been baptized. And a handful of adults have stood up here and either been baptized or have renewed their baptismal vows. Dr. Bob was one of those a few weeks ago. He asked me to carry him, but I couldn't carry him down the aisle. We have had a lot of babies that have been born into this community, and we've had a handful of people that are part of this community that have passed away over the last 3 years. including one this week that we're praying for Robert and for Roy. And we have seen relationships kind of behind the scenes, some publicly, some not, that have fallen apart. And we have seen some relationships that have miraculously been restored over the last 3 years in this place. We've seen some amazing things. And I found out about stuff this week that I didn't even know about, right? I mean, some amazing things have happened here. Right up here in this little area, we've seen some really good and some sometimes weird stuff happen with music. But Allison, we always had a rule. What was the rule about weirdness? We can't be weird just to be weird, right? I mean, the melodica, which is back, right? Is it going to be in the last song? The melodica, now it has to be. The melodica in the last song. A mandolin made it in just in time this morning. We had a toy organ at one point. I was a little worried about that one, but it worked. Housewright this morning played his guitar for a moment with a harmonica, which I've never seen before in my entire life. And some amazing stuff has happened up here. Thanks to John and Aaron, a few guitar strings have broken. And just some times I worried about our speakers, just playing those things. My favorite band is Pearl Jam. And one of the things about Pearl Jam is there have been four members of Pearl Jam for almost 30 years, and they've had a whole bunch of different drummers, and we have too. I think all of them either college age or high schoolers. Bradley, who's up here today, has been one of the most consistent, just an incredibly talented drummer. A bunch of other high schoolers that have come and led worship, like Annie, who's up here on the front row, like Emma G, who's up here too, James Bailey, a whole bunch of people. And here's one thing that you may not know. Periodically, after we start the sermon, we'll talk with some of the band members. And I never did that with our piano player because I felt like it would make her uncomfortable. So I'm going to make her uncomfortable today. So she started as Sarah Israel. She's now Sarah Whitling. She and Bryce got married. Allison, I figured this out this morning. Maybe she figured out before. Do you know this? I think Sarah has been on this platform playing music more than anybody, including Allison, in the last 3 years. More than anybody. And she has always, wait for the clap, I hear you trying, okay? Sarah has been unbelievably professional through the whole thing. Allison will say that she's probably the most adult of any of them up here, and she's the youngest. The only thing that she has ever done that was unprofessional, the only thing you've ever done that was unprofessional, is that we've never paid her. That's the only thing that we even offered one Sunday, and she said, no, give it to somebody else. So, I don't know. I took it, so. So can you give it up for Sarah? I mean, come on. Okay. That's enough. We don't have time for that to go too long. Okay. Come on. I mean, all of this stuff, all of it here, all the stuff that happens in the back, like all the stuff that happens in here, like half the reason that I'm still like functioning is because Allison Wormelskirch. I mean, come on. Okay. And we've had a few sermons in here, and some of them have been good, and some of them have not been good. But we've had a few sermons in here, and here's the thing that we've gotten right about sermons, whether it's me or somebody else. Again, sometimes I drive home and I'm like, oh my gosh, I hope somebody in this community can give me a job, because I'm never doing that again, right? But here's what we've gotten right. The sermons in here have always been deeply rooted in Scripture. And if you've liked the sermons in here, that's why. Because they're coming straight out of the Scripture. So what I want to do this morning is I want to revisit the very first sermon series that we preached in here 3 years ago. It almost didn't happen. We were planning on doing a sermon series on Psalm 23. I didn't feel good about it. I came in here and prayed, and We did this instead. The first sermon series that we did in the chapel is called First Things First, and we looked at the passage that Andy read earlier about the first four things that Jesus says in the Gospel of John. I want to read that passage with us this morning. We're going to read it together, and then we're going to talk about it, and that's going to be what we're going to do this morning. Okay. So if you have a Bible, we're going to be in John 1, 35 through 43. If you don't have a Bible, we have a Bible for you. It's a blue pew Bible, which is right in front of you. That's going to be on page 93 in the second half of the Bible. If you have a black Bible, which we give out in the back, then you're going to be on page 863. First four things that Jesus says in the Gospel of John. Okay, here we go. The next day, John, this is John the Baptist, again was standing with two of his disciples. John is the cousin of Jesus. He has a following around him. He's got a bunch of disciples that are following him, and he's with two of them. And as he watched, Jesus walked by and he exclaimed, "Look, here's the Lamb of God." Now, John has likely known Jesus his whole life, but he did not know that he was the Messiah that they were waiting for. Something has happened. It's been revealed to him. Jesus is the one that we're waiting for. Look, there's the Lamb of God. Okay. The two disciples heard John say this, and they followed Jesus. They left John. They followed Jesus. When Jesus turned and saw them following, he said to them, first thing that Jesus says in the Gospel of John, "What are you looking for?" Jesus doesn't start with, "You got to repent and come and follow me," in John. He doesn't start with, "You've been doing a bunch of stuff wrong." He doesn't start with, "If you don't follow me, you're going to be in trouble." He doesn't start with any of that. "What are you looking for?" I mean, in life, what are you looking for? That's the way that relationship starts. Jesus comes to us. "What, friends, are you looking for?" They're caught a little bit off guard. They don't really know how to respond. They kind of stumble a little bit. And they said to him, "Rabbi," which translated means teacher, "where are you staying?" "I don't really know. Can we go a little bit further along with this? Where are you staying?" And this is what Jesus says. The second thing, "Come and see." It's an invitation. "What are you looking for?" is an invitation to be introspective. "Come and see" is an invitation to come and to know me more. "What are you looking for? Come and see." And then it keeps going. "They came and they saw where he was staying, and they remained with him that day." It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. One of the two of them who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, who was Simon Peter's brother. He first found his brother, Simon, and said to him, "We've found the Messiah," which translated means the anointed one. He brought Simon to Jesus, who looked at him and said, third thing Jesus says, "You are Simon, son of John. You are to be called Cephas," which is translated Peter. The third thing that Jesus says is, "You are to be called," and he changes not only his name, but he changes his self-perception. He changes his identity. "What are you looking for? Come and see me. Come and know me more." And then they experience transformation. And then here's the last thing he says. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and he said to him, "Follow me." These are the first four things that Jesus says in the Gospel of John. And I couldn't think of any better way to end our time in this space than the same way that we began it. I mean, look at these four things, friends. Look at these four things. "What are you looking for? Come and see. You are to be called and follow me." In so many ways, the whole of the relationship with Jesus, the whole of what it means to be a Christian, can be summed up in these first four lines that Jesus speaks. He says, "Look, follow me. Be a disciple of me. Come and do life with me. Learn from me. Be transformed by me." All of these things. "Live like I live. Follow me." Why? Because you've been transformed. And your life is a little bit different than it was before. Because you came and you saw me. And you found what you were looking for. Follow me. Because you've experienced transformation. When you came and you saw me. And you found what you were looking for. What you're looking for, if you look for it in Christ, he will transform you. and he will ask you to follow him. And many of us, including myself, over the last 3 years have gone deeper into what it means to follow these first four lines that Jesus speaks. But if I had to sum it up with kind of a bottom line, I don't know what's going on. This is like the only thing that I can think to tell people like at all right now. This was the bottom line for my Christmas Eve sermon. This was the bottom line for my sermon in Cornerstone, which was different this morning. This is like all that I can think. I don't know if like the people of this community desperately need to hear this, or if I desperately need to hear this, or if I'm just really tired and like this is all that I can think about, right? I don't know. But it's just this. I mean, if we walk away with nothing else, it's just this. Only expect God to do what only God can do. And so many of us, what we're doing is we're running around and we're expecting people or things or experiences or whatever to do what truly only God can do. I mean, those things that you're looking for, those things that are so deep down, that are in your bones, that you desperately want, that you desire, the only person who can meet those needs is the Lord. And yet we run ourselves ragged and we wear ourselves out and we knock other people over and we knock things down because we're looking for what only God can give us in other places and other things. If you get nothing else, look, only expect God to do what only God can do. And if you walk away from this experience over the last 3 years with nothing else, if you got that, I think that we're headed in the right direction. Only expect God to do what only God can do. This is the first time I've referenced notes ever in here. Okay. All right. With that being said, there are a lot of things I'm going to miss about this place. And there are a lot of things I know that you are too. So I want to spend a couple minutes talking about what I'm going to miss the most. And true to about 95% of my sermons that are in here, Tim, how many things are there going to be? There are going to be three things. Okay. Three things. All right. The things that I'm going to miss, I didn't put them on the screen. The things that I'm going to miss. Here's the first thing that I'm going to miss. I'm going to miss the intimacy of this room. I'm going to miss walking in and recognizing most of the people. I'm going to miss the community feel that you have to have in a space that only seats this many people. I'm going to miss that a lot. And I'm going to be honest with you. We can't completely take that with us. We can't. Now, we're going to do our best. And I think that we're going to carry a lot of that over there. And we're going to continue to do stuff outside of Sunday mornings to help foster that community, but it's not going to be exactly the same. We're going to continue to do potlucks. And here's one thing I'm excited about. I don't know how to say this. We may need to like edit this out of video. I don't know. That congregation is, they're like more seasoned than this congregation. They've been around a little longer. So here's the deal. We're going to take Ben Jackson's meat to potlucks, and they're going to bring some banging casseroles, right? It's going to be awesome. We're going to keep doing these potlucks, and we're going to keep fostering this community, because it's been easy in here, friends. It's been easy in here, because here's the deal. When the community gets too big, you know what happens? Some people stop coming, and it stays this size, and it's been easy to foster community in here. It's going to be harder down that breezeway, but we're going to go after it. But one of the things I'm going to miss is the intimacy of this community. Here's the second thing I'm going to miss. I'm going to miss the music. And y'all, look at that. All right. Nobody's nodding. I don't know. Everybody's nodding. I'm going to miss the music a lot. I mean, the music has in so many ways come to define what this service is about. I'm going to miss that a lot. Now, here's something that you need to know. If you in any way have the idea that traditional music down the road is in any way stuffy or dusty, it's not. It's alive and it's vibrant and it's done with excellence. But it is different. And I'm going to miss the music in here. Here's the last thing I'm going to miss. And I'm going to be honest, I'm a little bit disappointed with this group. Because lots of people have told me they're going to miss the intimacy, and lots of people told me they were going to miss the music, and only one person told me they were going to miss the screen, okay? I'm going to miss the screen. It's our second screen. The first one got broken. We don't know how it got broken. college ministry says they didn't do it, but let's just be honest. I'm gonna miss the screen. You know, I thought about trying to bolt it to the front of this thing in there, but that's not gonna happen. But we're gonna look at other ways to help make the teaching be visual, you know, maybe with some stuff in the bulletin or things like that. I'm gonna miss the screen. All right. Not yet. Allison's trying to get fired. Don't quit yet, Allison. And if you weren't here this last week, you should know this. This wasn't in the notes, but Allison's still got a job here, so you should know that. So she's not going anywhere. So you clapped last week. You can clap again if you want to. Okay, I had a lot of time to mourn this. I knew this was a possibility for a while. It became a reality not too long ago. I had time to mourn this. I wanted you to know those are the things that I'm mourning more than anything else. There are other things also. Those are the big three. Turn it around. What's gotten me excited? This is what's gotten me excited. More than anything else, what has gotten me excited are conversations that I'm having with individuals in this room. Hands down, without a doubt. As soon as I started telling people, it was like y'all that were getting me excited. I'll sit down with people, and sometimes they would start with the morning and then get to, but gosh, we can reach a lot more people. And some people would immediately say, one of the first people I sat down with and told, they said, yeah, that makes total sense. We've outgrown the space. We're going to go over there and reach more people. It's the first thing that Mike Pierce said to me. I thought, this is such a blessing, right? I mean, so I have been more encouraged by anything else, by the conversations that I've had with you. Here's one example. I told a couple, I was worried about telling them. They're not here this morning. They're out of town. They baptized both their kids in here. They were here the first week. They joined the church through this service. I know how much the service means to them. They're in a small group, all of those things. I told them. They gave me a lot of pushback. Totally understandable. And then a couple days later, I got this email. I feel that this is one of them speaking for both of them. We are also being called as God's people to help grow the sanctuary community. And that makes me excited. And so many people. Over and over again. This has been it. And this is what's gotten me excited too. Here is what I'm most excited about. I said this last week, I'll say it again. And nobody just stumbles into this room on Sunday morning. Nobody just wanders in here. Look, maybe there are a couple of you, that's fine. Most people do not stumble in here or wander in here. Most people only find their way in here if they're invited. Or they look it up online or something like that. Every week, I'm not kidding, every week people stumble into that sanctuary looking for a community. Every week. At the beginning of the school year, SMU students stumble into that sanctuary looking for a community. That sanctuary is literally the closest worshiping body to the dorms that house thousands of freshmen and sophomores. Is that right? Literally the closest worshiping community to dorms that house thousands of young men and women, many of whom know they're looking for a church home, all of whom need that whether they realize it or not. Thousands. Young adults, couples, families, empty nesters. Every week, people wander into that space looking for something. And friends, the fact that starting next week, they're going to wander in to this community gets me really excited. Because this is a community that I know will treat them well and welcome them and love them. And they'll get some good music and hopefully they'll get a good sermon. But more importantly, they're going to find people that care about them. That is what gets me the most excited. So here are the things that I'm going to ask from you, okay? I'm going to ask all of you to commit to being a part of that service until the end of the school year. Okay. How many of you made that commitment 3 years ago to help start this service? I don't mean you were here the first day. I mean, we emailed or we talked and you committed to being here for the first 5 months or whatever it is 3 years ago. Can you raise your hand? How many of you found your way in here through another means? That's everybody else. That percentage is more skewed than I thought. And imagine if all of us commit to bolstering up that service for just 5 months, imagine the number of people that we can reach through that community. So here are the three things that I'm going to ask you to do. Number one, I'm going to ask you to show up. You know, when people show up for a worship service, it's important that they see themselves. And right now, there is a certain demographic that when they show up in the sanctuary, they see themselves there. But there is another demographic that when they show up, they don't see themselves in that sanctuary. When all of a sudden this community is a part of that community, we're going to reach a whole lot more people. That when they show up, they're going to say, this is a place where I think that I belong. This is a place that I think that I can be a part of this community. And friends, we got a lot of work to do to become an even more diverse community. But when we show up on day one, next Sunday, more people than in a long time at the 11 o'clock service will walk up and feel like this is a community they can be a part of. I need you to show up. And I hope that you will show up dressed like you are today, okay? Like, look. Who was that? Who was that? You know? Because here's the thing. It seems to me like the biggest barrier for entry into the sanctuary, one of the big barriers for entry, is that people don't want to dress up, okay? You don't have to. Now, look. Billy, don't show up wearing your jean shorts, right? Billy and I had to talk about this. Don't wear your jean shorts, right? He doesn't own a pair of jean shorts. He just went to Alabama. So, look. I know you did. I watched the game. Okay. Don't wear your jean shorts, right? But y'all dress pretty nice. I mean, just show up wearing what you're wearing, and that way, whether it's a college student who stumbles in after a long night and they need to repent and they're not dressed up real nice, right? Or whether it's a family that's going to lunch afterwards and then their kids' basketball game like I'm doing this afternoon and they want to be comfortable, that they're going to feel comfortable in that place. So show up wearing, oh, for real? How did you even get that? Oh, yeah, you had it. I showed it. Yeah, I showed it for a purpose like 2 years ago. Okay, all right, you want to believe in miracles, right? Right? God did this with that, okay? You sure? Yeah, I don't even know what to do with that. Okay. On a related note, we're not going to have time for a last song anymore because, you know. Show up. Will you show up? Can you show up? Will you show up? Is that gone? Okay. All right. Here. Oh, man. That's not point number two. So it is an S, though. Okay. All right. Show up. Here's the second thing I want you to do. I'm going to ask you to do. Will you still sing? I mean, come on. Like, this sounds incredible here. Will you still sing? They're going to be different songs. They're going to be in a different style. But some of these hymns, they're awesome, right? And we've been doing that in here. One of these you may have forgotten, this is a service that from the very beginning has been inspired by contemporary elements, but also traditional elements. Will you get in there and will you sing? And here's the last thing. Will you serve? Some of you are already signed up to serve, to be greeters, ushers, serve communion, things like that. Will you serve? If you're not already on that list, email me, email Allison. She's going to help make this transition. And will you serve? Okay. Here's the bottom line, and then I'm going to wrap this whole deal up. Okay, here's the bottom line. Everything this place has been for you, this place can be, that place can be for you and someone else. Friends, this is the crossroads that our community is at. It has been a tremendous blessing to us. That place can be a tremendous blessing to us and to somebody else. So will you show up, and will you bring that somebody else with you? Because again, I think it was probably like 10%, 90% people that were on board from before the service started. And the other 90% came in either that first day or somewhere along the way. That same thing can happen over there. Okay, all right, I'm going to tell you one story. It's going to be about 2 minutes, and there's really no reason to tell it other than it's what we started the first service with, so I'm going to tell it. I have no idea if it's going to be meaningful to you or whatever, but I don't know. I like bookends. Okay, so here we go. There was a rabbi, and he was walking down the road one day. And as he was walking, he was saying his prayers, and he made a wrong turn. And all of a sudden, as he was walking, he heard a voice, and it shouted at him, "Who are you, and what are you doing here?" And he looked up, and he had stumbled upon a Roman barracks, and it was a Roman soldier yelling at him. And he said back to the Roman soldier, "I'm sorry, what did you say? Who are you, and what are you doing here?" And the rabbi gathered himself, and he looked up to him and said, "How much do they pay you to stand there and ask people those questions?" He said, "One denarii a day, what's it to you?" And he said, "I'll pay you twice that much to stand outside of my house every morning and ask me those same two questions." So friends, who are you and what are you doing here? And as a community, come on, who are we? And what are we doing here? If we do this right, we're going to be a people that continue to grow ourselves and a community that continues to help other people grow too. So I'm going to pray for us, and then we're going to come up and we're going to sing one last song. You can leave if you want to, but you shouldn't. Then we'll have a benediction. And then we'll be together in the sanctuary next week. Will you just show up? It's going to be, just show up, please. All right. Let me pray. God, thank you for this time that we've had together. And Lord, as we get ready to stand and sing one last song in this space, God, help us to remember all the songs that we've sung before and help us to be anticipating all the songs that we will sing in the future. And God, just as you have blessed us, Lord, won't you continue to bless us and won't you continue to use us to be a blessing to other people. God, I'm so grateful to be a part of this community. And God, I think that I speak for all of us when I say that. And God, now, Lord, won't you, by the power of your Holy Spirit, God, help us to continue to be men and women who seek hard after you, trusting, Lord, trusting that you will do the things that you have promised in our life. And help us, Lord, to trust that it's you that can do those. We pray these things in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.